Hello, I'm Tom Moen, and today I'm beginning an old and yet continuing adventure. In 1968, my family and I returned to Tulsa, where I became the general manager of KORU-FM and Oral Roberts, radio announcer. At that time, from 1968 until March of 71, I had a daily program entitled Good Morning, Brother Pilgrim. And now, after 50 years, I'm resurrecting it with a new title, Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim. And a pilgrim is a person who's on a journey, and in this case, a journey of the kingdom of God on earth as Jesus prayed. So I hope you'll join me as we look into the past, the present, and the future.
This is Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim with Tom Moen for July 13th, 2018.
Well, good morning, fellow pilgrim. Last podcast, I spent a great deal of time, and I hope I didn't give you too much scripture, but I was trying to underscore what the gospel really is. It is the gospel of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, on earth, as Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer. And I gave you lots of texts. The kingdoms of this world right now are under the dominion of the enemy, and they're all one day going to be under the glorious, glorious kingship and lordship of Jesus Christ. I love the Messiah where it says, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever. And hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I want to give just a little more preface as I talk more about the kingdom of God. Barb and I were known by the Lord long before we ever began to recognize him. But there was a time when we were trying to find our way in a dark and descending way that was just leading to more and more despair. I was a Methodist pastor who didn't know God, preaching from Psychology Today. Well, our moments of birth into the kingdom happened within a week of each other in early spring of 1965. I'm recounting this because it's important to understand the discovery of the kingdom of God and why it was so important. Like all new believers, we discovered a wonderful gift. I can remember reading through John 10 and realizing that the shepherd hears the voice of his sheep, and Barbara and I were brand new sheep in his flock. And we rediscovered the scriptures with a new passion, with the Spirit of Jesus helping us to see more fresh, new truth. We and our growing family were launched on an adventure that has captured us ever since, exploring the kingdom of God with its glorious and eccentric citizens and occupations, both elegant and simple. Some of the stories that I've told you about are recorded in a book I wrote way back in 2014. We had recently retired as pastors of a church we founded in 1970, Bread of Life. And while I was dealing with the joys and heartaches of pastoral ministry, Barb was being mentored in a more hidden school, the one whose curriculum included caring for and loving five children, many young adults, and aging, infirm in-laws. Well, during the past 45, maybe 50-some years, both of us have learned through inadequacy and desperation to access the presence and power of the Lord Jesus and his love. Now that our five children are married, with children of their own, 21 altogether, we look forward with excitement to the next leg of our kingdom adventure. Barb's been involved in teaching and counseling troubled women in a homeless shelter, foreign missions. She's been to Cuba, India, Mexico, Russia. And several years ago, she joined me in teaching a Bible study, which I had taught alone for 20 years. And we've held weekend teachings in churches in the U.S., K., and Norway, always talking about the kingdom of God. Barb finished her college degree, and I've been sharing kingdom life with small groups of believers. The first time that we were really introduced to the kingdom of God was a book by E. Stanley Jones on the kingdom of God. So for over 50 plus years, we've been exploring and discovering the varied landscapes of the Lord's eternal kingdom. It's infinite and ever-growing, and we are debtors to all those kingdom citizens who've gone before us, and most of all to the initiator, our Father God and His Son Jesus, who make our citizenship in that kingdom possible. I want to read a couple of quotes from people that have been a blessing to me over the years. Some of you may be familiar with a man by the name of Dallas Willard. He wrote a book called The Divine Conspiracy. And in The Divine Conspiracy, he makes some quotes about the kingdom of God. And I'd like to read them to you from page 59 of The Divine Conspiracy when he's talking about the kingdom of God. And I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs. He writes that the kingdom of God must make sense. But this cannot come about unless what Jesus himself believed, practiced, and taught makes sense to us. And his message must come to us free of the deadening legalisms, political sloganeering, and dogmatic traditionalism long proved by history to be soul-crushing dead ends. That's what I was talking about a couple podcasts ago about what religion does and how deadly it is. Obviously, it does not so come to us now, and this is a fact widely recognized. At the 1974 Lausanne Conference on World Evangelization, Michael Green asked rhetorically, quote, "How much have you heard here about the kingdom of God?" His answer was, "Not much. It is not our language, but it was Jesus' prime concern," end quote. Dr. Howard Marshall of the University of Aberdeen has commented, quote, "During the past 16 years, I can recollect only two occasions on which I've heard sermons specifically devoted to the theme of the kingdom of God. I find this silence rather surprising, because it is universally agreed by New Testament scholars that the central theme of the teaching of Jesus was the kingdom of God," end quote. Peter Wagner, perhaps the best-known leader in the worldwide church growth movement, also refers to the unanimous opinion of modern scholarship that the kingdom of God was the message of Jesus, and then he adds this, quote, "I cannot help wondering out loud why I haven't heard more about it in the 30 years I've been a Christian. I certainly read about it enough in the Bible, but I honestly cannot remember any pastor whose ministry I've been under actually preaching a sermon on the kingdom of God. As I rummage through my own sermon barrel, I now realize that I myself have never preached a sermon on it. Where has the kingdom been?" What a confession. What an insight that is. I want to read something else that I received this morning in a devotional from Ransomed Heart and John Eldridge. And it's about the kingdom of God. And I just wanted to read it to you because I think you'll find it a blessing. He writes this in today's devotion. "You will reign, dear ones, over glorious kingdoms and realms within the great and glorious kingdom of our Father, a role we certainly need some preparation for. In another favorite Narnia story, The Horse and His Boy, the lost prince of Arkenland is returned to his father, an orphaned boy returned to his rightful role, just as we are. But he has some learning to do, some catching up to do before he can assume full responsibility. Shasta, now proclaimed prince, laments to his two horse companions, quote, 'It's far worse for me than for you. I'm going to be educated. I shall be learning, reading, and writing, and heraldry, and dancing, and history, and music, while you're galloping around and rolling on the hills of Narnia,' end quote. A prince totally unaccustomed to the ways of the kingdom cannot be entrusted with the throne until he has had some preparation, just as we need educating. Quote, we really thought this life was simply about getting a nice little situation going for ourselves and living out the length of our days in happiness. I'm sorry to take that from you, but you and I shall soon be inheriting kingdoms, and we are almost illiterate when it comes to ruling. So God must prepare us to reign. How does he do this? In exactly the same way he grows us up. He puts us in situations that require us to pray and to learn how to use the authority that has been given to us. How else could it possibly happen? Marvelous, marvelous, from John Eldridge in his devotion for the day. I want to read you something again out of the Gospel of Matthew. Referred to it before, going to touch upon it again, forgive the repetition, but it's vitally important that we read it. It's in, I should be able to turn right to it. It's in the Gospel of Matthew. It's the, it's the 16th chapter. It's when they come into the district of Philippi, in the 13th verse, that I want to read some verses to you. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, saying, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who was in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one he was the Christ. Notice it says that Simon is blessed because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to him. It's the same kind of thing that Jesus says to Nicodemus. Remember back in that third chapter when he says the wind blows where it wills, you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going, but a revelation came to Peter from the Father, and that revelation was that Jesus Christ was the Lord and that he is the Lord of the new kingdom that's going to come on earth, and that those who have that revelation are called to receive the keys of the kingdom of God. I've often asked myself, what keys would they be? I think they're the keys to healing. I think they're the keys to deliverance. But keys often speak of doors that need to be opened, insights, understandings. I think part of the keys are the gifts that come when the Holy Spirit fills us to overflowing. Later on in Matthew's Gospel, in the 19th chapter, the disciples asked Jesus, beginning in the 27th verse, Peter answered and said, behold, we've left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us? And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes. I want to just not so much about the thrones and the tribes, but he calls it the regeneration, when the earth is totally and completely renewed, when all things are put back in the order that God wants them. I can recall sitting in a meeting several years ago and reading this verse, and we began talking with one another. What does the regeneration mean, the renewal, when the earth is really full of the glory of God and restored in the way that God wants it? And we were talking about many things, and we were reminded of the 8th chapter of Romans, where the Apostle Paul says this, The Spirit Himself bears witness that we're children of God. I consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy compared with the glory that's to be revealed. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of Him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also may be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. It's an interesting concept, isn't it? The whole creation groans. I wonder if I'm just being fanciful or just too simple when I hear of tornadoes and earthquakes and tsunamis, volcanoes. All through it, it says that the creation fell also when man fell, because man was to rule over the creation, and he gave that creation up. The anxious longing of the creation, waiting for the sons and the daughters of God. That's you and me. God is calling you and I to rule and to reign with Jesus Christ over His creation. What a marvelous future is ahead for us. I want to pray just a moment as we close this podcast. My Father, Lord Jesus Christ, blessed Holy Spirit, we just come to You and invite You by Your Holy Spirit to grant us eternal revelation of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus the Christ of God. And when He's called King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the secondary kings and the secondary lords are us. We're called to be priests to our God. The Apostle Peter talks about being made priests unto our God. And a priest is someone who presents ourselves to God, but there's also a prophetic portion where we present the kingdom of God to others. Father God, I pray that each of us who has been born anew has not just been born anew to see the kingdom, but to enter it and to become disciples of the kingdom and thereby doors to the kingdom of God, so that when someone meets us, we become an aroma of eternal life and become doors to the kingdom. Such a blessing, such a gift. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.
This podcast is available for free download in iTunes and at MoanMinistriesBookstore.com.